you very much.
Sure. Thank you so much. It's really an honor to be here. I want to thank Rabbi Bierfeld, Rabbi Zephyr. I want to thank everyone here at the Kollel. And it's really been only a few months of my time here in the community, but already there's just a sense of the warmth of the relationships, the beautiful relationships between all the different Torah institutions in the community. So to be here to learn together with you this morning and to learn about Inyan Chanukah is really a tremendous zechus for me, and I want to thank each and every member of the Kollel community or the broader community for being so warm and welcoming, and look forward to many more opportunities to learn together and to share Torah across nominally different institutions, but really ultimately what's one very beautiful community. So I thank you very much. I'd like to discuss this morning, for the time that we have, focus on the issue of lighting the menorah in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim in a public space, and more specifically in a shul Beis HaKnesses. We know that we have that minhag, and the question is, number one, what's the basis for the minhag to light the menorah in the Beis HaKnesses? And even before that, there's some controversy about the question of lighting the menorah in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. You have a mesiva, you have a public event, whatever it may be, or just some to go out to the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. We know that there's some question as to whether or not it's appropriate to light the menorah in such a public space, whether or not it's appropriate to even recite a bracha in such a public space. That's a very questionable issue. I'd like to raise that. Along the way, toward the end of the shiur, I'd like to suggest as well, is that this issue of lighting Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, particularly with regard to Beis HaKnesses, maybe offers us some insight into also, not only just the halachos of these particular areas, but as well into the nature of hadlakas neros, even in our homes. And I'd like to explore that a little bit later on as well, and you'll see where I'm going a little bit later on in this year. But let's begin with the question of hadlakas neros Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So we have a mesiva, we have, we go to Center City, whatever it may be, right? I'm still kind of coming from New York, I'm still learning, so I guess Times Square for me, but whatever the appropriate equivalent here is. And we're going to light Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, we're going to light the menorah. Is that appropriate? A bracha? Right? Is this appropriate at all? So it's fairly well known that this is the practice of Lubavitcher Hasidim. Lubavitcher Hasidim, Emsach, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, that he felt very strongly you should light with the bracha, Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. We know this from contemporary culture. Even those who are not necessarily familiar with lighting inside the home are still familiar with lighting in public spaces. That's sort of what has emerged in our American culture as we have seen things develop. And this is the position of the Rebbe. If you take a look in source number one, he says, Yishlo Dedul Zarezu Rabham Odos Hadlakas Ner Chanukah B'mkomos Tziburiyim. I'll translate all the sources. He says we should urge that we should light publicly. Ner Chanukah Mitzvah Anecha Pesach Beis HaMibachutz. The original mitzvah was to light at the entrance way to one's home and outward. Mishum Pirsumei Nisa, to publicize the Nes. B'alachas Kama V'chama Kasher Milvad Hadlaka Pesach Beis HaMibachutz. It's not just at the Pesach Bayis, at the entrance way to the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, but Madlikin Ner Chanukah Gam B'chutz. And there's, wow, it's a kavachomer, all the more so. Kishuto, right? That you shoot a kamashmo, we like Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Uvachut, skufa, bimakoma, tsiburvia, mekazibi, oser, as I need tosef, pipirsumi, nisa, bi yeser, seis, bi yeser, oz. This is the ideal, this is an even greater form of pursumi, nisa, and he goes on and connects it to chasidus, things that are perhaps beyond me. But in any case, that's the claim of Bavitcher Rebbe, and it's fairly well known that the practice, and we see it all over the place today, is for the Lubavitchers to light outside with a bracha. Sure, many are familiar. Needless to say, this is an extremely controversial position, and I don't know if it's unanimously, but it's really almost unanimously rejected by other poskim. So I'll just give a couple of examples. For example, take a look. The Shud Az Nidbru, Rav Zilber, a contemporary poskim in Eretz Yisrael, quotes that Rishlomo Zalman Orbach disagreed very strongly with this. So just a couple of examples in sources 2, 3, 4. Just last year, I met Rishlomo Zalman. Is this appropriate? Is this something that we should do? The entire notion of saying a bracha in a shul proper, the whole notion of lighting with a bracha in a shul itself is only based on a minhag, and therefore, right? So you can't just extend the minhag artificially. That's inappropriate. We can't just make up minhag and left and right. There's a minhag Yisrael that developed in a particular way. It's inappropriate to just say, oh, now we're going to extend this minhag. That's not how we do things. If it develops organically as a minhag in Kali, so it's one thing, but just to start to light publicly, Rishlomo Zalman felt that he doesn't address here whether or not you should light publicly at all, but certainly to recite a bracha, Rishlomo Zalman felt is extremely inappropriate. Diane Weiss, the famous posek, of the Eid HaCharedis in Yerushalayim, source number 3, in the Menchas Yitzchak. He similarly disagrees. Well, we've worked hard enough to find the basis for reciting a bracha in shul. Kamvor v'shuvas harivash, v'shuvas chacham si. We'll see the rivash in a few minutes. V'chiale al hadas l'chadish me'atzmenu, mashalu sharu avoseinu. Right? Who appointed anyone to just all of a sudden to invent new minhagim? Right? Our forefathers never imagined such a thing. Uviyosel di karamsha sifos keilo. In any case, he says it's inappropriate to go to any of these gatherings. I'm not sure exactly what kind of gathering he's referring to, but whatever it is, he thinks inappropriate. And right now, you shouldn't go. Right? Any of this stuff, right? He says inappropriate. In kamakom laharech, etc. So Minchas Yitzchak as well, and Rav Aldenberg, who passed away just within the past few years, the great posik in particular in halacha medicine, Rav Aldenberg similarly writes in one of his tshuvos, source 4, V'aldvar shel so mozul varech albaka seros hachanika b'mesiba hineni lahashivo kidil kamanu v'ktzara. I'm going to cut to the chase. Boru adavar she'en levarech. It's inappropriate to say the bracha. Pukhazi kamadios nishtabchu b'keshel minhag albaka b'vis hakneses v'ik she'efshel levarech haka. Just again, to be able to recite a bracha in shul, which is a later minhag that developed, doesn't have a basis in the Gemara, as we'll see. That alone, the Rishonim, the Achronim, will struggle to figure out, how do we justify our practice to recite a bracha in shul? That itself is questionable. That's controversial. And you're going to tell me that all of a sudden we're going to extend it outside of shul? It's inappropriate. That's ridiculous. Right, even in shul, some said, you know what, you shouldn't even recite a bracha there. We do recite the bracha, but it's questionable even in shul. So you're going to start to extend it. Says Tzitz Eliezer, that's inappropriate. We should not do this. We certainly should not recite a bracha. We should try to restrain perhaps even others from doing this. Bracha levatala. V'hanim na'ikalos chara prisha. If you make the bracha, it's a bracha levatala. It's a wasted blessing. If you do not recite the bracha, so then you receive schar as someone who avoids this mistaken, erroneous practice of reciting a bracha. So the overwhelming majority of poskim rejected the practice of lighting outside the context of a shul. Now, for example, they light at the kotel with the bracha. Right, but that's considered to be a Beis HaKnesses, so that's not considered to be the same thing. There are poskim who do allow this, but again, the overwhelming majority are opposed. Yeah.
To the Lama Shorari, it was clear that he said that you should make a bracha, or he was just saying you should do it in the bracha.
That's true. It's not clear in this, but I think if you look around, Maya, it's pretty. I don't think there's any question that was. Question was anyone else agreed, but that's a separate question. But I don't think there's any question as to his position. No, I think it's pretty clear. As far as I'm not a bucky, but I haven't heard anyone question that was his particular psak. Okay, so now we have this controversy over this question. So I'd like to suggest or submit is that this question. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, but you just wanted to point out one other place where this is very applicable. When I was a child, I used to have the annual Pirkei extravaganza on Hanukkah.
Yeah.
The big public school auditorium, several hundred children. Start off with calling up a child to light the menorah with a bracha.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
And where was it held?
It was a very out-of-town place. It was the 14th Avenue of Agudah Borough Park.
Wow, that's almost as out-of-town as Times Square. Yeah.
That's right. And they used to make fun of it. And I look back now.
Wow.
And the fella had to make a bracha. Could be these are referring to those
also. Very interesting. Okay, so maybe they're minhagim that don't know, but I don't know. Interesting. Maybe it's more common than a...
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
But if any... All right, it's interesting. Could have said Adra. Okay, good. That's a very interesting question about chinuch for a katan in a way that they wouldn't do as an adult. There's a major... That's a very interesting question among the posts. Is that considered appropriate? In terms of lulav, the toilet, you know, etc. If lulav is less than a shir or a pretend lulav, very interesting discussions. Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about this. There's some very interesting questions about that. But I wonder. I don't know. Good. Okay. Yeah.
The question of the bracha relates to the
majority of the addressable crowd. If it's
I mean, Jewish, not et cetera. Well, we're going to talk a little bit later in terms of the requirements of the issue of a minyan, presuming Issa, et cetera. So that could be relevant. I don't know if you would say we'd go by the majority. In other words, right. There's also a question about presuming Issa with regard to a Gentile, with regard to a non-Jew as well. The Gemara says that the Zman Hadlaka is dependent upon the Tarmodai, right? When the Tarmodai would leave the Shuk. So that's a heathen nation. That's not we're not talking about Jews there. So there's some questions, a big debate, whether that indicates that presuming Issa is relevant with regard to Hanukkah for even a non-Jew or no. That's Gemara is just a shear of when people leave the marketplace, not actually saying that presuming Issa is judged by them. There's a big debate about that question, but so that could be part of the issue as well. Sure. Okay. So now the question is: this whole issue of lighting outside of a Beis HaKnesses. Could we suggest that perhaps this actually depends in turn on the svara for the minhag to light in the Beis HaKnesses proper? Where does that come from? What's the reasoning? What's the svara? After all, does the Gemara mention anything about lighting in a Beis HaKnesses? Right? Now we know there isn't a ton of Gemara in Shas about Hadlakas Ner Chanukah, but those two, three daf in Masechet Shabbos, which discuss the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neros, right? Where is it discussed? About where? Right? Lighting, of course, in the home. Right, there's no mention of the Gemara, anything about lighting in a shul. Where does that come from in the first place? What's the basis for that minhag? What's the svara for that minhag? And if we understand the properly the svara for that minhag, might that in turn shed light on this controversy as to whether or not it's appropriate to light in a shul, outside of a shul as well? So that's going to be the next step. Okay, so where does it all come from? So it comes from the time of the Rishonim, the 12th, 13th century. Take a look at source number 5. To my knowledge, this is the earliest source for the minhag to light in a Beis HaKnesses. Says the Baal HaItzer. The Itzer, one of the great, I think it's 12th century, Rishon, he's living in southwestern France. So comes along the Baal HaItzer and he writes as follows, V'nagu l'adlak ner Chanukah b'Beis HaKnesses. The minhag is indeed to light the candle of Chanukah in the shul. V'yish mekomo shenagu ala Pesach. Some lit at the entrance way to the shul. V'yish manichim b'Beis HaKnesses b'emsa. Some place it centrally within the shul. Okay. It says the Itzer, there is such a practice. So approximately 12th century, we have the first, at least to my knowledge, makor that indicates that there is such a minhag to light in the shul. Anything about a bracha? The first source, the makor that we have. Anything about a bracha? Right? I don't see anything here. Oh, not only is it questionable in terms of the bracha, but it's a new minhag, right? Or it seems to be a new minhag. It's a questionable minhag. Right? Again, we don't find the Gemara, so where does this come from? So it comes along Shibali Alaket, an Italian Rishon, about 100 years later or so, I think. So he writes this, he quotes from the Itzer, Kasa Baal HaDibros Zichron LeBracha, the Baal HaItzer, Nagu L'Havlik Ner Chanukah B'Beis HaKnesses. He quotes this practice. Some put it at the entrance way, some put it in the middle. Second line, Adkan Dvarav, right after the period. The Gamanu Nagin L'Havlik, says the Shibali Alaket. The Gamanu Nagin L'Havlik B'Beis HaKnesses. He says, hey, that's our minhag as well, right? That's what we do at my shul at home, right? So we have the same practice, but I have no idea where this comes from, right? It's left field. I don't know what in the world is going on. His brother, who is Niftar, he said, don't do this, right? Stop. Certainly not to recite a bracha. Lighting a bracha? Lakas Neros in shul. Whoever heard of such a thing? That's ridiculous, right? It's completely inappropriate. So that's what he says. That's what his brother said, right? V'chin dati nota, says Shibali Alechet. My brother was onto something. He was absolutely right, 100%. V'chin dati nota, ki mi'achar shekol echad ve'echad. And this is the $1 million question. Mi'achar shekol echad ve'echad madlik v'vesa. Well, if we're already lighting at home, matzorech lahadlik v'vesa knesses. Right? Why are we lighting a shul? We already yotzei. Right? Yotzei at home. The whole halacha is that we ner Chanukah. That's the takana. We light at home. Whoever heard of such a thing? What in the world is the purpose of lighting yet again in a shul? It comes out of nowhere. It seems to be completely out of left field. What in the world is going on? So that's going to be our $1 million question. What's the basis? What is this svara? Where did this minhag come from? What's the underlying logic that stands behind this minhag? Don't have to jump over yet. Okay. So I'm going to share two mikoros to start with. And it will ultimately be, at least in these two makaros, three different reasons that are suggested. Three svaros, and you'll see how each one has a different approach to the basis for the minhag that might in turn impact on the original question in terms of lighting in a public domain. So take a look at the Rivash. The Rivash in source number 7, the great Spanish Rishonim, writes the Rivash as follows. Tshuva, ha minhag hazeh lahadak v'es ha-knesses, minhag v'sikinhu. Says, don't decry this practice. Don't belittle it. Don't say, oh, this is new, they just made this up just yesterday. No, this is a real minhag. This is real roots. This is real basis among the poskim. It's a minhag v'sikin, right? It's not just yesterday. Right? What's as far? It says like this. כיוון שאין אנחנו יכולים לקיים המצווה כסיכנה כל אחד בביסה. It says, nowadays in Galus, right, our practice is incomplete. Right? What do we do? What do we do differently? Right? At least in Chutz Laretz, right? What do we do differently? It's very interesting. Right? What do we do differently? Do we light like the Gemara recommends? Exactly? What does the Gemara say? Pesach Biso, Mi Bachutz. Generally understand what they do in Eretz Yisrael nowadays, right? Generally, which is to light just outside of the apartment, just outside of the home. Right? Says what we do to light inside the house is lacking. We're still Yotzei, but is that the ideal pursuit in Nisa? Something fundamentally lacking in our Hadlakas Neiros Chanukah. Right? That really, it should be L'kayim Nisuk HaSikna Kol Echa Beviso Shehila Anicha Pesach Biso Mi Bachutz. It's supposed to be on the outside. Kidisnan Mishnan Shabbos Yidgalom Tong Pishnan V'chulo V'chivon Sha'ata. Since nowadays Sheyad Ha'umos Kefa Aleinu, we're exiled. In Galus, we don't have autonomy anymore. The Eidam Yecholim Mahavlik HaMitzvah Kisikna. Right, the Kaimah Mitzvah Kisikna. We can't fulfill the mitzvah appropriately. Umavlik Ha'echa B'Pesach Beso Mi Bifnim. Are we in Pesach Beso Mi Bachutz? Right, no, we're Pesach Beso Mi Bifnim. The Ein Kam Pirsum In Yisa Kim Livnei Beso Livad. Right, where's the Pirsum In Yisa nowadays? For whom? Right? Someone in the house. In fact, we know that if you come home late at night, right, it's a big shaila. You're going to light, you're not going to light. Right? We know that you have to have perhaps have someone awake if you're too high. Others are not going to see. Right? If you get home too late at night, it's a big issue. It wasn't an issue when you were lighting in a much more public space, necessarily. The income person is looking at the Nisa, Bovad, Lazen, Higu, Lahadak, Vesak, Neses, Lekayim, Pirsume Nisa. Oh, so says the Rivash, what's the pshat? Right? The pshat is because there's something lacking nowadays. Now, what would you say nowadays, right? What obvious question could we ask according to this? I already alluded to it pretty clearly, right? What would happen where? Right near Tisrael. Right, what would happen, according to the Rivash is sitting in Spain, he's sitting in Galus, and he's saying, well, we don't like it properly anymore, so therefore to compensate for a lack of presuming, so therefore we light, right, we light in the shul. So according to this, anyone ever hear of this? The Eretz Yisrael, ironically, Dafka Eretz Yisrael, they wouldn't light in shul. Anyone never heard of such a thing. But according to the Rivash, Lachor, that's what you would say. Now, I don't know, contemporaneously, at that time in Eretz Yisrael, I don't know what they did. It's interesting. I have no idea how many, unfortunately, there weren't that many Jews in Eretz Yisrael to establish the minhag, but it's interesting. Yeah, please.
Did you say there's a parallel to like making Kiddush in shul?
Oh, good. Baruch Hashem, Baruch Shekivanta. Perfect segue. Thank you. Mechavim to the Beis Yosef. Next Makor. Wow. I love having plants in the shir, it always helps. Okay, so says the Beis Yosef, thank you very much, says the Beis Yosef, next source, take a look. Rav Yosef Karo, he offers two explanations, two svaros for the basis for this practice. Masha Kosav, Shemanichin Erchanaka Beis HaKnesses, Nir Shetik Nukain, Mipnei, this is mamish incredible, you sure you didn't read it first? Mipnei Ha'orchem, right? It's because of the guests. She'in Lahem Bayis Lahadlikbo, unfortunately they don't have a home. Where do they live? They live in the Ezra. It's not saying they live in the shul, whatever it may be. Right? Uchemoshe tiknu kiddush b'vei sakneses, mishum orchim, da'achlu v'shasu b'vei k'neshta. Says it's just like kiddush b'vei sakneses. Right? That's exactly the idea. So just as they established kiddush b'vei sakneses, which you know is a controversial minhag as well, right? So similarly, yesh v'yesh. But either way, right, what's he saying? He's saying, that's the same thing. There were people who were living in the shul. That was the basis for doing it. Now, is it still relevant nowadays in the same way? Right? In our communities, when it's not typical for people to live in the shul. Right? Would it make sense, really? But you could ask the same question on what? On the shuls that continue to say Kiddush, which there are many. Right? What's the basis for that? The answer is, once there was a takana in place, so it continues to be in place here too as well. But according to this svara, is it really relevant nowadays, essentially? Right? No, but still that continues to be the practice. Yeah?
The Orchim have to be Mishtadlis, like
an Achsanei? No, because, well, they're, no, the point is that that's their bias.
That's where they live?
That's their bias, yeah, that's the whole point. Otherwise, there's no purpose in lighting.
They're not spending any money towards oil or water, it's fine?
No, it's like, well, the question is who's lighting. But I'm a Ben Bias. If I'm a Ben Bias, the Shita Befruta is going to be for the non-Ben Bias. It's going to be someone who doesn't live there. The whole point is that the Orchim are the ones who live there. And the question here is, how can the Gabbai light on to be most? That's a question. But the Gabbai should be the one who has to be Mishtate Befruta, not the Aniyah. Right, exactly, whatever, right, exactly. Achinami. Okay, so that's what he says. And then he quotes a second possibility in the Beis Yosef and third possibility overall. Take a look at the end of the second line. V'chasav otam acher, shu k'dei, very simply, k'dei lefarsim hanes b'fnei kohan. It's just simple, straight up, Pirsume Nisa. It's just to publicize the miracle. Ulasader habrachos lefnehem sheishbaze pirsum gadol Hashem yisparach v'kidush shmo k'shem evarchen oso b'makelos. It's just a public thank, right? It's public thank you. It's a public halal voda recognition to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So just to summarize, what do we have here? What are the three explanations that we've seen? Right? What did the Rivash say? The Rivash says, right? Well, we lack the pirsum, right? Pirsum anis that we used to have, and to compensate for that, because we light inside, therefore nowadays we light in shul as well, we light outside as well. What are the two options of the Beis Yosef? Right? It's sort of on a spectrum here. In other words, the Beis Yosef is saying, right, either it's full-fledged pirsum anis, just straight up pirsum anis, or what's the other pshat in the Beis Yosef? Is it anything to do with pirsum anis? What is it, according to the first explanation of Beis Yosef? It's just a substitute. What do I mean it's a substitute? Right? Or it's a way of... Is this an additional takana beyond the basic requirements of Hadlakas Ner Chanukah? So according to the Rivash, right, it's sort of an addition beyond that. According to Pirsume Nisa, the second chapter of the Beis Yosef, what is it? Right, it's a completely additional, separate, additional opportunity for Pirsume Nisa. But according to the first chapter of the Beis Yosef, what's the explanation? Is it a separate requirement? Is it a separate issue of Pirsume Nisa? No, what is it? It's just a way to allow the Anim or the Orchim to do what? To be mechaim their basic halacha. So it emerges as two possibilities, right? Two basic approaches. Is this just a way to be mechaim the basic requirements of Hadlakas Ner Chanukah, or is this going beyond that? Is this an additional requirement of Pirsume Nisa? Why is this also important? Now circle back. What would you say in light of this question about going Bershus HaRabbim? It's not in a shul. You're not in a Beis HaKnesses, right? It's not the place of the original Minhag. And I'm going, right? I'm going to the Agar, right? I'm going to Times Square. I'm going wherever I'm going. And I'm going to light in a public place. It's a Mesibas Chanukah. Right? So what should it depend on, would you say? Right? So L'chora, it should depend on this question. Why? Because if I hold that what? That the only purpose is just to allow the Orchim to be Yotzei, so this is where they're living. Right? So what would you say? So L'chora, right? Clearly not. Right? It's a Mesibas Chanukah. It has nothing to do with that. And therefore, according to that explanation of the Beis Yosef, the first explanation of the Beis Yosef, L'chora would be clear that what? That it would be irrelevant, to be inappropriate, to light, forget with a bracha. That's mamash bracha levatala. Right? Now, but if I hold, the Rivash is not 100% clear, but certainly if I hold like the Beis Yosef's other explanation, if I hold straight up Pirsume Nisa, so then, not necessarily, but I can begin to make the arguments. I can begin to understand, because I can say, well, it's the same Yisod, except that what? Beis HaKnesses is the obvious place for Pirsume Nisa. Those people are constantly, regularly gathering there. And the Mesibas Chanukah, that's right, you could make the argument, that's an even greater Pirsume Nisa. Now, is that mukhrach? Is that clear? Not 100%. You can say, look, there's a minhag that developed in a public domain, namely in the shul, and that's a real minhag, and that developed, and to extend that to a new space, that the minhag never developed in that way. So it's not clear, but you can begin to see that the original question of whether or not to light in a public domain may in turn depend on the basis for this entire minhag to begin with. Okay. Yeah,
beautiful. The first reason of the Beis Yosef,
yeah,
you're extending a little bit the Orchim to Aniyim.
I mean someone who's staying there.
They live in the shul all week or all year. Aruchim, people are passing through. So it seems like Eilan Bayis Lahadmikoy, and therefore we made a special which seems to be a bit problematic, because they're masakin the Birchas Ariyah for that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a funny basis for the...
I wonder what he means. Orchim, does that mean like a night passing through, or does he, because otherwise Lachor is fair. I agree. So maybe he just means, because it's Kirish, because if you look at the parallel to Kirish Beis HaKnesses, so Lachor, they're staying there for more than one night. Right. So I'm just saying that you're right. On the one hand, he says Orchim. On the other hand, the parallel, Lachora, would seem to indicate that maybe they're a little bit more long term. I don't know. It's a little bit of Tzarchin. I hear that. But
they should be the ones lighting.
So why are they not lighting? So is it a zecher? Is it more? Is it zecher more than like meikar adin? Is that perhaps the pshat? I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, a little bit of a tzarchian here. Yeah, please.
So if we have the Jewish street people,
people who are homeless.
Is that their makam? So then we can say, so there's a reason for lighting in the street.
Oh, I hear that. That's interesting. Usually we say that the Iker Hadin is that it's a chovas abayas, or it's contingent upon the house. The Rebbe Yerfeld is discussing chovas abayas, chovas kavras on the schedule tomorrow. So maybe that's, I'll leave that for him. But usually we say that at minimum there's a requirement of some sort of physical home in which one lives in order for there to be a chiyuv near Chanukah. But you could say, you know, that sort of, you know, even if it's not mi Iker Hadin, the essential requirement, maybe, you know, maybe there, again, there's some notion that's birchas haroa, that's there's some notion of pirsum minisa that's relevant for them as well, and that could be an additional requirement. Times Square, unfortunately, Times Square certainly of 20, 30 years ago, certain places that you know that have tons of homeless people, you could, but not mi'ikra at then. It's a thought. Okay, good. So now, what I want to do, and for the time that we have remaining, I want to do a few things. Number one, I just want to point out that there are a couple of other nafkaminos of this issue. Number two, I want to offer one final explanation for the minhag to light in the shul, and then to show a little bit for a few short minutes at the end how that may in turn reflect on the nature of lighting even in our homes for all of us nowadays. So first of all, that additional nafkamina. So there's a big question that arises in terms of the need for, as mentioned earlier, a need for a minyan. Right, the need for a need for 10 individuals to be present during Hadlakas Aner Chanukah in the Beis HaKnesses proper. So this is not going to go through all the Mekoros. In source number 9, you have the Be'er Halacha, that is the Mishabura. Be'er Halacha has a lot of discussion among the poskim. And there are a lot of different issues. Do we require 10 people at all in the first place? That's a question. We generally assume that we do. But here's an interesting question that comes up on Erev Shabbos very often in particular. What happens if I know that eventually there will be 10 people, but at the time that I light, let's say it's Mincha Maariv, right? It's almost Shabbos, so I have to light quickly. So I know at this moment there are only 5 people in the room. Only 5 men. Right? So it's not going to be a minyan until when? Possibly after Shkiar is getting close or whatever it may be. I'm worried I'm not going to have time. And obviously I don't want to, forgive me, play with fire. Just to prove that my smicha is real. And corny joke. So, right, but that's, right, that's, there's some question about that, because right now, do I have a minyan? Right? No, but I will. So is that appropriate or is that not appropriate? Can I light? Can I light with the bracha? Can I not light with the bracha? In a Beis HaKnesses proper. Forget about the Rishus HaRabim. So that's a big discussion among the poskim. The Be'er Halacha, the Mishabura himself, ends up saying that as long as you know they're going to come, he says in the Mishabura, and then he elaborates in the Be'er Halacha, he's a big machlokas about it, but his psak is that as long as I know that 10 people will come, that would justify the Hadlaka. And there's a lot of discussion about all these issues, not going to get into all the details right now, but what's the point? The point is that this Lechora in turn also is Tolo, is going to depend on the question of the basis or the requirements. There's another nafkamina. Why? Because if I hold this just to be mostly the Orchim or something along those lines, just the people who are passing through, would have anything to do with the need for 10? That has to be b'machelos, that has to be in public? There's nothing to do with that. So the whole discussion would be out of court. It's only because we're talking about Pirsum Enisa. And even Pirsum Enisa, it's a big Kaddish to require 10, just Misvara. Why? Because why? Please? Because at home, do I need a minion at home? Do I need a minion of people passing by? No, of course not. Right? I need one other person to see it. That's Pirsum Enisa. So all of a sudden we're saying that the requirement, the criteria, Pirsum Enisa and Shul are somehow greater, somehow different, which indicates that maybe the Pirsum Enisa here is a little bit different. What is it reminiscent of? Another case of Pirsum Enisa. There's another instance of Pirsum Enisa in Halacha which does have a preference for, or maybe even a strict requirement of a minion. What would that be? At least a preference. Right? Grace Megillah, the Gemara's whole discussion, Rav, right? Rav and Levi, I think, the Mara and Daf Hey, right? So you need a minion, you don't need a minion. When they're reading on the date of Purim, when they read in the towns earlier, there might be a difference, whatever, it may be a whole discussion in the Gemara, but there's a discussion about the requirement of 10 in terms of Pirsum Enisa of Grace Megillah, like Hanukkah, we don't generally find. It's a very interesting, there's more to say here, but I'm not going to elaborate it too much. I just want to point out that the requirement of 10, even Mishum Pirsum Enisa, is surprising, is intriguing, but either way, certainly to require a minyan, B'Shas Hadlaka, after the Shas Hadlaka, this whole issue with Erev Shabbos, etc., clearly goes to the Pirsum Enisa requirements of that explanation. L'chora would be out of court, would be irrelevant when it comes to the Orchim Svara of the Beis Yosef. So again, we start to see that many of these issues, lighting and Rishus HaRabim, the parameters of requirement of Minyan, even in Shul proper, L'chora are going to be contingent upon the reason, the Svara, for the requirements of Hadlakas Ner, or the Minhag of Hadlakas Ner, Chanukah, Beis HaKnesses, to begin with. Okay. Oh. So I've been cheating a little bit. right? So I get to make the star sheet, so I can do that. And one of the things that I did was I took out one of the makoros that really we should have by, if we were going really in order, we would have gotten to already. But I wanted to hold it as a little bit of a trump card. I think it's an obvious trump card. It's not a major chiddush. I'm surprised no one mentioned it already. But I think that it speaks to an additional reason or svara for Hadlakas Ner Chanukah Beveis HaKnesses in particular. What is that? Take a look at source number 10. Comes along the Manik. The Manhig, also one of the later Rishonim, writes as follows. He says, this whole thing, lighting and shul, doesn't make sense. Right? You have to light it home. You don't have to light it shul. The only requirement is to light in the house where one's lit, where one lives. The Gemara says that you have to have, right, that one side is the mezuzah. But we know that Beis HaKnesses, technically, is Pater Mi Mezuzah, the Gemara in the first parak of Yuma. Someone lives in the Zachiyah, but if no one's living in the shul, so there's no requirement. So this whole thing about lighting in the shul, it's not really necessary. Oh, so what's the base? Not Mi'akar Yen. So what's the reason? What's the basis for the minhag? End of the second line says the manig, Yonagu kachaze shahanis ba b'mikdash b'solanin. Right? It's Zecher l'mikdash, essentially. The osim came kimo b'mikdash me'ad b'gola l'farsim hanis l'fi shekulam miskabsim sham. Everyone's there. This is a mikdash ma'at. You're in the shul. The whole original event of Chanukah was, right, to commemorate a nes in the Beis HaMikdash proper. The Neros Chanukah, right, the Neros Chanukah are built upon the Neros Sheba Mikdash, the mitzvah of Halakas Neros in the temple. And therefore, says that's the basis for the minhag. We light in the shul. Why? Right, it's Zecher l'mikdash. That's exactly what happens, says the Manhag. And now it's interesting, because if we go back, would you require a minion here, according to this? And then we go back to the Naftaminos already as well, just to point out. Right? Is there a requirement of a minion in Chor or not? Never heard of such a thing. Hadlakas Neros in the Beis HaMikdash? I don't think there's a requirement of a minion. What about in terms of lighting outside a shul, according to this? Bishus HaRavim? Sure. What would you say? What? For sure not, right? So that's right. Mikdash Ma'at. That's the whole point, right? It's not the Mikdash Ma'at. L'chor has to be specifically in a shul. So number one, you already see that it answers many of the questions that we've raised, have a very clear answer to those questions. But to me, what's remarkable is that we can go further. Because number one, there are a number of aspects, some aspects of the minhag that we practice nowadays, which are clarified by this. For example, the placements of the menorah. Our different minhagim, different places have different minhagim. I don't know what I do here. But some put it in a central location. We saw before it's by the Pesach, it's by Emtza, right? So that's right. So that we find as well. The Shulchan Aruch writes not that way. The Shulchan Aruch writes with verse 11, with Vesak Nesses Manicho Bekosel, right? Bekosel Dara, put it on the southern wall of the shul. Right? Again, naru pashte. Right? There's a minhagim out there. But the Mechaber writes, if you look inside, he says you put it on the southern wall. Why do we put it on the southern wall? Right? And then this is actually the Ramban in the parentheses here. Bejom HaMenorah, Mesadron Ami Mizrach L'Marav, that we actually set it up from east to west. Why are we setting it up on the southern wall facing from east to west? Because that's where what? That's where the menorah stood, was situated in the Beis HaMikdash. Certainly on the coastal Darom, there's a machlokas Rishonim whether the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash stood was north-south or east-west. But either way, the different menhagim here, we take a look at Mishnah, I didn't give it to you on the sheet, it's obvious. Mishaburo says, yeah, because that's what they did in the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, it's clear. And even the Mishaburo talks about Pirsum Nisan and requirement of 10. Apparently, there's this additional aspect of Zecher LeMikdash. It's clear as well. So it's black on white in Shulchan Aruch that at least when we come to, even if the original reason perhaps was Pirsum Nisan or whatever it may be, but when we come to find the location, to identify the place for the menorah to stand in Shul, clearly it's built upon the notion of Zecher LeMikdash. Please. That's correct. Well, that's the whole reason that the Gemara says that the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that we don't build it in exactly the same way that we build it, that we physically build it differently. So, correct. We don't want it to be identical. In at least the physical construction of the menorah should not be the same. In terms of the placement, that we don't find. The Gemara talks about really the physical appearance of our contemporary menorahs, and that's certainly correct. Yeah.
So how far does this sort of mikdash mat go? Is this one person in the shul?
Yeah.
Could you light
the Zechel? So if you had me, I could imagine such a thing. Clearly, that's not the assumption. The assumption is that usually that is when a minion is there, or at least a minion is coming. And I think it's because we're sort of finding some sort of fusion between the Pirsum Hanes and the Neros HaMikdash. So to say that Lemaise we Paskin Neros HaMikdash alone, that I think is hard to say. So how do we reconcile the fact on one hand we require a minion, Pirsum Nisa, but on the other hand, we place it, all of the Mechaber, right, in that place. I think it's some sort of, there's the original reason perhaps for the minhag was pursue minis, but once we're doing it in the domain, public domain of the shul, so we said, wait a second, the nature of this mitzvah is zecher lemikdash, wouldn't it be appropriate to situate it in a way that highlights that theme as well? L'chora, that's what you'd want to say.
I think you could say that in the base of mikdash, always a multitude of people.
But there's no chiyu. In other words, if there was mamish no one there, would they not light the menorah?
It could be there was never the Metzias. There were always kahanim and levim. That was the avodas. There always was an abundance of people.
Even though it wasn't necessary. Uh-huh. Go ahead, please.
I mean, the first time they went in,
I don't know. Right. Yeah, who was there? I don't know. There's a minion.
The kahanim always saw all the kahanim that were there. There were always kahanim every day.
In the heichal.
They were
in the azara. They were in the in the lishkos, etc. No, were they in the heichal?
Well, so you're going to say that only who's in the heichal, then it's only the one kohen going in.
Right. That's what they're saying. That's what's not so. So they say.
Even the same reminder was that shakulam miskatzim shem. Connecting to the base of
English. One second.
Oh, Lechera, you're right.
I thought you meant the shul.
Everybody comes to watch the sea, right? So all the Ghanim were there, would come to see him. And the Messias was, there probably were a lot of Ghanim
around. But not in the Heichal proper.
You don't find the Rishonim out there.
There's no requirement of it.
Right.
So the Kedem they brought out to show them.
That was on the
Regalim.
The
Regalim,
that's
right. The Shulchan, but on a regular basis, not the Shulchan, I think it's only on Yantav. Also, the Hishkum's Katsun, I thought was the Shul, not the.
It is the Shul, yeah.
Right, but it's like the Bagul the first name, Hane, right. Okay, I hear.
It's a very fundamental question. It says that he
right.
Is the Chatzar the Heichal? Was that in the base of Mikdash?
No, L'chora they did it inside the Heichal, because why wouldn't they do it in the Heichal?
Maybe that's
the Raya for Rabbi Yerufal, that's the right, in other words, they did it in the Heichal, but the point is, in the Chatzos Kachecha, in other words, everyone was there, and there's a sense that it was, that was involving everyone who was around, even in the Chatzar, etc. I don't know. It's a run. What?
That lighting with Bechatzos Kachach was different. Normally it was another day.
Of course.
Specifically,
so
that
was
when they first restarted.
That they didn't light in the Heichal?
Yeah.
Meichat is, who says this? Someone's the Makor?
The
Chassam Sefer, I didn't hear. Is it in Tshuva?
Yeah, and in the Drashas.
Let's take a look.
So okay. It wasn't in the Heichal.
I'm not familiar with the Chassam Sefer, I can't speak to it. Good. Okay. So we're running a long time, so I want to cut to the chase, which is as follows. If you take a look, I'm not going to throw the Makoros, so everyone's urged to do so. What I would argue is that this theme of lighting in the Beis HaKnesses is a zecher lemikdash, and that was really the original Nes Chanukah, I would argue is present in our Hadlaka at home as well. And there are a number of classic rayos, they're not mine, they're all over the place, they're fairly well known, but very interesting and really very important, that indicate that there are certain connections between the Hadlakas Ner Chanukah, even in the home, and the Hadlakas Ner Chanukah in the Beis HaMikdash. I'll just outline them outside, I'm not going to read inside, but you can take a look on your own if you'd like. The Ramban in source number 12 discusses this in context of Aaron's discomfort, his disappointment, over not being involved in the Nesiim, and so Rashi famously discusses Lama Nismacha Parshas Menorah L'Chanukas Nesiim, and there the Ramban suggests in that context is that Higufa, that the Nechama, that the comfort for Aaron is the fact that L'Dore Doros, the Hadlakas Ner Chanukah in the Beis HaMikdash would be commemorated, would be memorialized by an everlasting Hadlakas Ner Chanukah in people's homes. That was a comfort to Aaron because that was really Zecher LeMikdash. So again, this notion of tying together Hadlakas Ner Chanukah, even L'Dore Doros, even outside of Beis HaKnesses, even outside of Rishos HaRabim, into our contemporary Hadlakah, the Ramban is one raya for that. The Baal Mor in source number 13 suggests that the Isser Hana'ah, that the prohibition against deriving benefit from Ner Chanukah ultimately derives from the Kedusha of the Neros Sheba Mikdash. Again, that idea as well. Take a look. The Ravid in source number 14 suggests that perhaps the reason that we say lihadlik ner shel Chanukah instead of al hadlakas ner Chanukah suggests the Ravid because really we would say li for deoraisa. Ah, isn't ner Chanukah midrabanan? Suggests it's not fully midrabanan because what is it? Zecher. Right, zecher lemikdash essentially. Inami, last line, source 14. Nishizo abracha hukbal haniru shebem mikdash shehin shel Torah. Lefichach asa uhu kishel Torah. It's comparable to a Torah obligation. Therefore, it's not al hadlakas ner Chanukah. It's lihadlik ner Chanukah. Rashi in source 15. The Gemara has a famous discussion: hadlaka osa mitzvah or hanacha osa mitzvah. Or hadlaka, the actual act of lighting or placing the menorah in its place. Why hadlaka osa mitzvah? Says Rashi in source 15 that it's kedashkechan b'menorah. That it's modeled after that as well. And other rayos as well. I'll mention one more. The Rambam in source 16, there's a whole discussion. He highlights the whole story. So here's the basic problem. Soloveitchik asked this question. The Rav wanted to know as follows. He said, wait, I don't understand. What's the story of Chanukah? They came on the 25th, and then they lit when? Maybe it's connected to the Chasam Sofer. They lit when? All right, that night. That's what it sounds like in the story. So what was the first night of Chanukah? If they won the war on the 25th, right, and then they lit that evening. So ask the Rav, ask Rav Soloveitchik, we should start Chanukah on Chavav. We've got it all wrong. We should change the date of Chanukah. If you look at the Rambam, that's what it sounds like. There's a question, according to Rav Rishon, you have to remember, well, the Rambam actually disagrees. Rav Rishon held that they only lit at night, that they didn't light in the day. The Rambam actually says they also lit in the day, but it's a separate thing. So that was the question of the Rav, and the Rav answers, no, it's based on the mitzvah and the Beis HaMikdash as well, because according to the Rambam himself, verses 17, 18, not only is the hadlaka the mitzvah, but even preparing the menorah is also part of the mitzvah. Right, and Dishun HaMizbeach is essential to the mitzvah of menorahs, Vimishita the Rambam, and therefore even the preparation of the menorah is part of the mitzvah as well. So this I just bring us by way of just, those are five very quick rayos, that our mitzvah of Hadlakas Ner Chanukah itself, even in our homes, not only the Beis HaKnesset, even in our homes, is also Zecher LeMikdash. Why is all this important? So I would suggest in closing, I apologize for going a little bit over time, apologies, Ari Kavel, nice to see you, is as follows. What I would suggest is, what were Chazal trying to do here? So what happened was, I would suggest, is that you have to remember that the period of the Beis HaMikdash was already coming to a close. So what are Chazal saying? Chazal are basically saying, during the Takana of Hadlakas Ner Chanukah, we continue Zecher LeMikdash in two ways. Maybe later on, right, we have the Minog that developed Hadlakas Ner Chanukah in the Shul proper, as an immediate Zecher LeMikdash. But Chazal are basically saying, even though, of course, something terrible is lacking, once the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed and we don't have that opportunity for Zecher LeMikdash in the immediate way, what we still do have is the opportunity to turn our homes, and it's a Jewish, but I think it's Prat as well in this case, to turn our homes as it were into a Mikdash Ma'at. Basically what we do in Chanukah is that each and every individual's home essentially becomes a miniature Beis HaMikdash. In other words, all these halakos neros, forget Beis HaKnesses, forget Rishus HaRabim, forget, right, the Beis HaMikdash in its pristine state, but at least on some level can be applied to our own homes as well, which is really a remarkable statement about the Kedusha that I think is manifest in each individual home during the days of Chanukah. So I want to wish, on that note, to everyone a pleasant continuation to Kislev, and hopefully these themes of Hadlakas Neros really in the Beis HaMikdash should permeate not only Rosh HaSarabim, not only our Beis HaKnesses, but God willing, our homes as well. Kolta, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me again.